And to start, I want to go back to the overall theme for the whole conference, which is grand challenges, great solutions. One of the biggest challenges facing society today in the 21st century is an increasing global demand for protein. And a really interesting great solution is recirculating aquaculture systems. We can see that even just in terms of demand for seafood or fish protein, we're not going to meet that growing demand with just our natural resources or natural stocks on their own. And so aquaculture holds a lot of potential. In particular, land-based, closed containment, or recirculating aquaculture systems provide a couple sustainability benefits. First of all, these systems have a very small water footprint, which means that we grow fish in a tank, we continuously are treating a small amount of the water and recirculating it back to the tank. So it's fish, treat the water, fish tank, treat the water. So we're able to have a very small water footprint. We're also able to put these fish farms almost anywhere, in particular near large urban markets where there's an increasing demand for protein supply. And this means that we can also have a very small carbon footprint in terms of transportation of this protein source. And then lastly, with this kind of recirculating aquaculture fish farm, we're able to produce a healthy, high-quality source of omega-3 fatty acids, often without the use of any chemical therapeutics or antibiotics, which is very appealing to many consumers today. So the recirculating aquaculture industry has continued to grow over the past several years and will continue to grow. We've begun to realize there's a significant potential or a significant need for denitrification technologies at this kind of fish farm. In particular, there's two potential nitrate streams for use in a denitrification technology, starting with the system flushing water. The system flushing water in these systems, we typically recycle 95 to 99% of the system volume, which means that 1 to 5% of the system water volume is continuously flushed from the system. And that water there is not dissimilar to tile drainage because the main water quality contaminant is nitrate, has fairly low TSS, total suspended solids, and fairly low BOD. So it's actually a pretty similar type of effluent compared to tile drainage. But what we're actually talking about today is the second nitrate stream coming from a recirculating aquaculture fish farm, which is really more of a wastewater. This load, these backwash biosolids, are the dewatering supernatants from our solids treatments, which the solids in these systems are fish manure, fish poo, and uneaten fish feed. And so this water, compared to the system flushing water, has a much higher nitrate load, or can in certain farms, and then it also has a much higher TSS and BOD load. So this is pretty gunky stuff compared to tile drainage. So there's obviously a need for denitrification technologies at RAS fish farms, but before we go whole hog with using a wood chip bioreactor as a denitrification technology in this application, there's a couple design and operational issues that we need to really think through. First of all, on the design side, what's the right hydraulic retention time for a wood chip bioreactor in this application? We've heard 3 hours, 6 hours, 9 hours today from Illinois, and then 6 to 8 hours just now from South Dakota. Well, those waters have a much lower nitrate concentration in them compared to some of the backwash biosolids. So we need to calibrate our design models for this specific type of water chemistry. And then there's also a potential for clogging because we have such a high TSS and BOD load. And the wood chip clogging, this has serious implications for wood chip bioreactor design life. So in order to investigate these design and operational issues a little bit more, we built 4 pilot scale wood chip bioreactors at our research institute in West Virginia. All 4 of these bioreactors are 1/10 scale based on their surface footprint, sized down from a concept design I developed for an actual RAS fish farm on Vancouver Island who was having some serious challenges with some of their wastewater. Our bioreactors receive supernatant from our solid settling cone, so it is actual wastewater from an operating fish farm, and we dose the supernatant with a concentrated nitrate solution just for experimental purposes. Each bioreactor operates at a different hydraulic retention time, which is part of our experimental design, ranging anywhere from 12 hours all the way up to 60 hours of hydraulic retention time. And you'll notice too that in each bioreactor we have a series of three monitoring wells. So moving straight into results, here's the prerequisite nitrate influent effluent concentration graph. Here you see our influent level here, and then our four treatment bioreactors there. Once we got through the startup flushing period, you can see our treatments really began to differentiate in terms of hydraulic retention time. Our shortest hydraulic retention time of 12 hours was able to take our influent concentration of about 75 down to roughly 40. Our bioreactor that we were running at 22 hours of hydraulic retention time took that influent down to about 20. And then our two highest hydraulic retention time treatments of 39 and 58 hours had complete nitrate removal. Now looking at those numbers, just for kind of that last steady state period, we saw in terms of nitrate removal efficiency, again, the two longest hydraulic retention time treatments were removing 100% of the nitrate. And then interestingly, in terms of removal rate, this is the highest removal rate I've seen. Lewis is shaking his head. Yes, I win.
You win.
I almost couldn't believe the numbers, and I triple-checked the calculations here. But one, we have such a high nitrate load coming in. Two, our bioreactors are operating under very consistent conditions. We're not wetting up and drying out as you would potentially have in a tile drainage bioreactor. And then three, our water temperature is about 17 degrees, which isn't 20 or 25, but it's a little warmer than groundwater average. And you see even our nitrate limits in the treatments here still have fairly high nitrate removal rate. So we know a little bit more about how to optimize the hydraulic retention time in terms of design purposes for this kind of wastewater. The second issue we wanted to talk about or explore was the potential for clogging with this kind of high-strength wastewater. There's two concerns with our wastewater here. One, the high BOD loads might cause some excessive bacterial growth. This is very common in the wastewater industry, the sort of biofouling. Here is one of our pressure transducers that we had deployed in one of our bioreactors. After a week of being in there, it was pretty seriously biofouled. So we know there's potential for excessive bacterial growth in the system. The other potential water constituent we're concerned about is high total suspended solids, which might actually plug the wood chips if it's removed, which we know is happening to a great extent. So the good news here is that wood chip bioreactors are great at removing TSS. The bad news is that they're great at removing TSS. So you can see, note the divided axis, significant, pretty high TSS load, and we're removing that down to about 2 milligrams per liter. We wanted to dig into that a little bit further and explore exactly where is the TSS removal occurring. And as you would imagine, it's right near the inlet. So as that water flows into the wood chips, out of the inlet manifold, those suspended solids are getting settled out right there before we even get to that first well, which is about 30 centimeters from the upstream wall of the bioreactor. And I can show you graphs and data all day, but I think a picture speaks a thousand words. So just be glad that this presentation is not in Spellivision, because our Super Nathan from our fellow biosolids, that's our influent for our bioreactors. Again, pretty gunky stuff. And then we have pretty clear effluent coming out from the bioreactors. Now, one thing about clogging is that even if we're removing all these suspended solids in the bioreactor, if for some reason that doesn't change the hydraulics, if the bioreactor is still functioning hydraulically how we designed it, then maybe the TSS removal in the end doesn't matter. Potentially, right, because we're really just concerned about that hydraulic performance. So we wanted to dig into the clogging a little bit more to evaluate potential changes in hydraulics. The way we did that was install pressure transducers, that little, looks like a little blue hot dog hanging there in our inlet manifold. What happens each hour, each bioreactor has a small pump that kicks on, that pumps a defined volume of wastewater into the bioreactor. Because the pump capacity exceeds the hydraulic conductivity of the wood chips, water in this inlet.
Use mouse.
It's more fun to be Vanna White. Okay. So this pipe here, when the pump kicks on each hour on the hour, the water level in this pipe increases. And then as water moves out of the end of the bioreactor and new water moves in through here, that water level in the pipe slowly decreases. And so that pressure transducer hanging there allows us to capture this kind of hydrograph every hour. Now I'll draw your attention primarily to the upper left graph because the trend is most clear there. That's our 12-hour hydraulic retention time bioreactor or treatment. And what you'll notice is those black dots during week two, the second week of bioreactor operation, the pump kicks on, we have the water level in the pipe increase to about 80 centimeters, and then water quickly moved out into the chips. By week 10, those white dots, we see a small decline in flow rate, water moving into the chips, those lines are different. And then by week 19, the same trend kind of continues. So we know that there's something changing with the hydraulics, the way the water is moving into the chips. This could be because the chips have settled over time, but it likely has something to do with all those solids settling out near the inlet. We're still investigating this, still thinking of mitigation strategies for potential clogging. So with that, apart from the clogging issue, there is still significant interest in wood-chip bioreactors because they're a very low cost, low maintenance, fairly low maintenance technology for what tends to be fairly complicated farming systems. And so there's a lot of interest in a trench filled with chips when you're talking with a farmer who's trying to manage this. And I will say that this is a little bit of a different game than treating tile drainage because these farms are regulated point sources. And even us at our research facility, we have an NPDES permit. And so I know from experience, if you're out of compliance on your nitrate load, then it's a big deal. And so in some respects, that makes it easy to work with these guys because they have to remove nitrate. But on other respects, you have to make sure the bioreactor is working. So it's an interesting challenge. With that, questions?
Questions.
It's a good option. For the farm that we're actually trying to base this research on, we have developed a suite or a complete design for them where we have a solid settling home to settle out their solids and then the supernatant there goes to the bioreactor. So there is a settling step before we even get to the bioreactor. There might need to be an additional treatment in between there though. So this is kind of uncharted territory. But there's also other options to address potential clogging in terms of design. So we're getting there. That's a good idea.
Zach? Are you seeing any potential solid reduction during this clogging?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's terrible. So here's our sulfate graph. And you'll note that our two highest retention times, we're definitely reducing a lot of sulfate. And I've been a little concerned about my intern being out there because this hydrogen sulfide smell is very strong. This is a little complicated. Our sulfate influent concentrations are a little complicated because we're also running autotrophic denitrification experiments with sulfur and we're recirculating the water everywhere. So, but anyway, that is a concern.
Okay, let's thank Laura again.